Today's reading begins in Acts chapter 13, verse 4. Acts 13, verse 4. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. When they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had John to assist them. When they had gone through the whole island as far as Paphos, they came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the magician, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time." Immediately mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw that what had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem, but they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he went up with them in the wilderness, and after destroying 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years, and after that he gave them judges until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie. Brothers, the son of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterance of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore, he also says in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One see corruption.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you." And as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you. Since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, and as many as were appointed to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Now at Iconium they entered together into the Jewish synagogue and spoke in such a way that a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So they remained for a long time speaking boldly for the Lord, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the people of the city were divided, some sided with the Jews and some with the apostles. When an attempt was made by both Gentile and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to stone them, they learned of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and the surrounding country, and they continued to preach the gospel. In our reading yesterday, we had left off with the Holy Spirit telling those at Antioch to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which they were called, and they had laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so today we had begun reading of their first missionary journey. This missionary journey was approximately 46 and 47 AD. What we see is this practice of Paul's to always go to the Jews first. And he felt this appropriate, and that's exactly what he begins to do even on his first missionary journey, going into the synagogues to reason with the Jews. And at first, he's welcomed. At first, there are many who are interested in hearing what he has to say. It was common among the synagogues that when they would gather on the Sabbath and they would do a reading of the law, that they gave opportunity for people to discuss or to speak or to ask questions, much like we would in a Bible class today. And that was the opportunity given to Paul. And so he begins with a brief recounting of history, bringing it all the way up to Jesus and proclaiming him. Along with this proclamation was a warning as well, to not be astounded and turned away, but to accept what's being stated. And they accepted it quite well. They asked him to come back the next Sabbath. And when they did, it says almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But this stirred up the jealousy of the Jews. And it states they began to contradict them. I do not want us to get the wrong impression thinking that they were successfully contradicting them, but that they were probably casting dispersion, much like they did with Jesus and they did with the apostles in Jerusalem. But Paul does not continue to argue with them. He just simply tells them, look, it was necessary for the word to be spoken to you first, but since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we will go to the Gentiles. And, of course, he backs that up with Scripture, quoting, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. The Gentiles liked this. Remember, the Gentiles have been shunned by the Jews for so long that they don't want to interact with them. They don't want to do anything with them. And now, all of a sudden, there's this Jew going around speaking, saying, Jesus says, you're welcomed into his kingdom. And so it says, the word of the Lord spread throughout the whole region. But, of course, the Jews did not leave this alone, and they incited those against them, and Paul and Barnabas had to flee. They then arrive at Iconium, where they do the same thing. They enter into the synagogue, and it says a great number of both Jews and Greeks believed. But again, the unbelieving Jews stirred up others, poisoned their minds against the brothers. It says they remained for a long time speaking boldly, bearing witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done. But the people were divided. Some sided with the Jews, some sided with the apostles. And again, they have to flee. And this becomes a pattern for the missionary journeys, as we begin to see a great opposition against the preaching of Paul, both in preaching the gospel to the lost, and later in coming to send Judaizing teachers into the various churches that he had to deal with that teaching. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.